Good morning. My name is Anne, and I'm reading scripture today. I will be reading from the first letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. I will be reading chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. When I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin. But I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin, or who are greedy, or cheat people, or worship idols. You would have to leave this world to avoid people like that. I meant that you were not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer, yet indulges in sexual sin, or is greedy, or worships idols, or is abusive, or is a drunkard, or cheats people. Don't even eat with such people. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. God will judge those on the outside, but as the scripture says, you must remove the evil person from among you. This is the word of the Lord.
All right. I introduced a word a few weeks ago, curmudgeon. Does anyone remember that? Curmudgeon. I even introduced this great shirt. It says curmudgeon. It's not just a word, it's a lifestyle. And I thought, I'm going to take another run at this word. It's such a great word. We should all use it more. Don't you think, curmudgeon? A definition of a curmudgeon is someone who is bad-tempered, grumpy, and stubborn. Know any curmudgeons? Oh, some of you do, some of you do. Some of you are sitting right beside them, and I won't ask anymore. But typically a curmudgeon is always complaining. They are hard to get along with. They do not care for social rules or small talk. Yeah, you know who you are. And they're controlled by their anger. Now, we are continuing on. This is the finale for the Flipside series. And for those of you who are just joining us, we spent a good chunk of this year in a series called Strengthening Church Relationships, which is all about the things the Bible says we can do as a church to bond ourselves together, the behaviors, the patterns, the things that we should just make a priority in our lives that would bond us together. The flip side is looking at all the sin lists in the New Testament, at the things that divide us, the things that are tearing us apart right now. And this is the conclusion to that series. All along, I've said, God is relationship, Father, Son, and Spirit. Before there was anything made, there was relationship. And God has designed us for relationship. The Bible was written for relationship with God and with each other. And our relationships depend on our maturity in Christ, in the church. As our relationship with God is strengthened, so will our relationships with each other. So you can't say, oh, I'm really close to God and have no desire for transformational relationships within the church. Today we are looking at the final three sins: anger, rage, and abuse. And I want you to consider this morning how these may apply to you. Even though you may not think so right now, they may apply to you. So let's take a look at, first of all, anger. Paul writes to the Colossians, he says, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, there's those two things, back to back, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other. Now, you'll notice that anger and rage are side by side, and for years I read that thinking, isn't Paul being a little redundant? Like, aren't those the same things? Why put them so close together? Well, we're going to find out that the words that they are translated from mean very different things. And it's hard to translate some words directly into English. But anger, the word anger here is the Greek word thymos, which means intensely boiling over expressions of passion or fierce anger. Thymos is destructive fits of temper. It's very, very specific. Do you remember, some of you are familiar with Jesus' life, and you may recall one time Jesus preached like I'm doing now, and the response was to throw him off a cliff. Remember that story? The Bible describes that as thymos. That was just this boiled up rage that, or boiled up anger that wanted to push Jesus over the cliff. The Bible also says in Revelation that Satan is filled with thymos because he knows his time is short. He is having right now, I'm happy to say, a complete meltdown because he knows he's doomed. Amen? Now, there's a misconception in church circles that all anger is sin. Let me tell you, that is not the case. And just very simply, we know this because God himself gets angry. And this God's anger is a major teaching in the Bible. If all anger was sin, then God is a sinner. And that's not true because God is holy. Anger is our reaction to losing something. We want to hang on to it. We want to defend it. And here's a shocker for some of us. It's not our circumstances that make us angry. Did you know that? It's not our circumstances that make us angry. We think it is, but you can have two people standing side by side going through the exact same circumstances, and one is angry and the other is a cucumber. Why is that? So it's not our circumstances that make us angry. It's not the chemicals in our brain that fire off and make us angry. You know what makes us angry? It's our minds. It's our minds that make us angry. It's the answering why we think something happened. That's what makes us angry. Our minds are incredible storytellers. Have you noticed that? We make up great stories in our minds. We have vivid imaginations that can make someone who hurt us sound like a cross between Darth Vader and Cruella de Vil, which I'm sure someone in some dark corner of the House of Mouse is working on right now. It's going to be a great movie, don't you think? Anyway, sometimes anger is good. For example, we should be angry about the plight of the poor and the unborn, and the cast aside, and the most vulnerable when they suffer. So anger can be the product of love. I mean, if we're not angry when people that we love suffer, then you really don't love them. When God gets angry, it's because God loves. He sees the cruelty, the injustice, and the crime. Our problem as humans is we often don't question or explore our anger enough to know the difference between righteous anger and sinful anger. The question is, what are we actually protecting in our anger? Are we protecting the cast aside, the vulnerable? That's good anger. When we're protecting our ego, our reputation, it's bad anger. Our riches? Some Christians think the Bible actually teaches stoicism, which in some Eastern religions says if you want power and control, you be strong. And I'm using air quotes for those of you who are listening to this message. Be strong. Don't let anything get to you. Show no emotion. So Christians are all supposed to never be outraged. This also means you never actually show love, because love protects. If we pride ourselves in our lack of anger, we're probably loving our equilibrium, our stability, and not the vulnerable. Now, sinful anger can hide in church circles. We can deny it. Oh, I'm not angry, I'm just sticking up for myself, or I'm just getting the stuff off my chest, or I'm just a justice warrior. And so we can delude ourselves. We can say unjustified anger is, well, that's not my issue. It doesn't control me. Anger is something we all have, right? And so we all must manage it with God's help. But what I've described to you is not thymos, the propensity to blow up, explode, tear people down, burn relationships. A thymos person, what the Bible is describing here, is basically a hothead. you know any hotheads? Are you friends with hotheads? That's an adventure. It's tough. You know, I think, I have a theory that this sin of thymos, out of perhaps all the sins that we're looking at today, is probably the least accepted in church circles. Because it's just so obvious. Every time you mention something or you rub someone the wrong way, boom! And we generally go, you know, you might want to consider toning that down just a little. You think? Yeah. It's so noticeable. Now, compare thymos, anger, to rage. Let's take a look at rage for a minute. This comes from the Greek word orgi, which means a long-term, settled, abiding hostility. In other words, this is an anger that's dug in. It's a permanent fixture underneath the surface. And the only way I thought of contrasting these two things was to talk about forest fires. For those of you who may not know, I have had two boys with some experience in fighting fires in Alberta. And they told me there's three types of fires they generally deal with in forestry. One is a crown fire. A crown fire goes, it usually starts with lightning. It's at the top of the trees, and under the right conditions, it just blows from treetop to treetop to treetop. That's a crown fire. Very, very deadly stuff. Another is a ground fire, and another is a smoldering fire. Now, a smoldering fire is something that I'm not sure that we get much here in BC, but in Alberta, a fire can go underground and start to feed on peat moss and coal, and it can burn for weeks and months and even years. And firefighters in Alberta actually look for these. You know how they look for them? They stick their bare hands in the ground to look for it. Yeah, and sometimes they get an ouch because it can be hot. Do you know where they don't do this? Just as a fun fact, they don't do this in Australia. Too many things will kill you in Australia. So, nice, safe Alberta, stick your hand in the ground, see if it's hot. Okay, all right. So, this is like orgy. It is a burning that happens underneath the surface. And it comes from a moral judgment. It says, I am judging you. It stays brewing and smoking and underground for long term. And this is sometimes how church people treat each other. This is a sin where past hurts lie dormant and smoldering and smoking. And we wait for the right conditions, the right words to be said, a situation encountered, or the right people involved, and boosh, it lights. Oh, we church people, we can be pleasant to each other, can't we? We can be Mr. and Mrs. Nice Christian on Sunday morning. Shake each other's hands, look each other in the eye, and say, hey, are you having a great day? I'm having a great day. Everything's good, man. And I hate you so much. We read earlier, if you recall, that we are to rid ourselves of thymos and orgy, that smoldering fire, anger and rage. Let's put a pin in that for now. Let's go to our third sin, which is abuse. This comes from the Greek word loiteros. And loiteros is put downs, insults, mocking, poking fun at, name calling. And this is what Paul writes, and we heard it read here earlier. Let's look at it again. I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin, but I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin or are greedy or cheat people or worship idols. You'd have to leave this world to avoid people like that. Obvious. So already, Paul is setting up the fact that we are to treat churched people differently than unchurched people. People who claim to follow Jesus versus those who do not claim to follow Jesus. And he concludes with this. He says, I meant that you are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer yet indulges in sexual sin or is greedy or worships idols or is abusive. There's that word, loiteros, right there. Or is a drunkard or cheats people. Don't even eat with such people. Now, I want you to pay careful attention because Paul just placed abuse in the same category as sexual sin and idol worship. And all of these have the same consequence. Did you notice that? And what's the consequence? Disfellowshipping. Getting kicked out of the church. A lot of people hate that idea. You shouldn't kick people out of the church. The church should be inclusive. Everyone should be involved. Not if they claim to follow Jesus. And you'll notice, this is not like one-time sin here. It says people who indulge in this. This is a lifestyle. It's what they do on a regular basis. It's a pattern. It's a habit. It hinders the gospel message and disgraces the name of Christ. And it's up to those of us who are believers to deal with folks like that graciously and yet firmly. Unfortunately, in church, married couples can abuse each other. Little put-downs, little insults, little belittling statements about their appearance or their strength or their ability. And abuse should not be tolerated in any relationship, especially not in the church. And I wonder how many marriages could have been saved if church people treated abusive language as seriously as God does. Addressing it with each other before that abuse escalated into the breakup of the relationship entirely. Now, if you've been verbally abused, and many of us have, if I asked you to put your hand up if you've been called a name, probably everyone in here would put their hand up. You've probably been called a name before you get to like grade 2, right? But you're in good company because Peter tells us about Jesus, and he said, Jesus did not retaliate when he was insulted. This is loiteros. He was verbally abused. Nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. So you're in good company. Jesus was verbally abused too. So to recap, here we go. We have anger, which is thymos. It's a sudden outburst of flame. It's like a crown fire. It's spreading rapidly. And then you have rage, which is a smoldering fire. It's underneath. It burns a long time, and it's waiting for the right moment. And then you have abuse, which is insults and put-downs. That's loiteros. And it's every bit as serious as cheating on your spouse or worshiping another god in your heart. And all three of these can happen behind closed doors and can be private. A verbally abused wife may sit in silence while her husband shakes the pastor's hand with a hearty praise the Lord. When we use abusive language and we name call, we call people idiots or losers, and then if we claim, oh, I'm just joking. No, this is loiteros. It's abuse. And it needs to stop now. Two church people could have long-term grudges and make little comments about each other, sometimes in front of each other, sometimes to each other, affecting love within the church. And it's up to all of us to call that out. How sad if an unsaved family member has to walk on eggshells around their churched sibling, trying to keep the churched person happy or suffer their put-downs and insults because no one has called it what it is. Abuse. It's loiteros. All of this can be hidden and unknown and unaddressed for years or decades. So what is the solution? You know, when I was studying this, there was an interesting thing I began to notice. And I don't know if you noticed it in the scriptures that we've read so far, but there is a weird connection between anger and lying. Did you notice that? Let me show you. Ephesians 4:26, it says, so stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Notice the two are side by side there. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. That's not the only time it happens, oddly enough. In Colossians, what we read earlier, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other. What's going on here? Why is there this connection between anger and lying. Now, besides questioning the reason for our anger, what am I protecting? Am I protecting the poor and the vulnerable, or am I protecting my money? I'm protecting my ego. We need to expose what is hidden. We need to get to the truth of the matter. Why are we actually angry? This is why, by the way, we have prayer ministry up here every week to get to the truth. We have life groups to get to the truth. We have mentoring to get to the truth. When we are prone to sudden blow-ups or long-term judgmental anger or insulting, demeaning language, when we don't own up to it, we are lying to God, to each other, and to ourselves. We are saying, oh, this is not my problem. No anger issues here. No, sir, I'm a picture of spiritual maturity. Some common lies we may tell ourselves. We may say, other Christians don't need to know what happens in my private life. Got news for you. It doesn't just affect you. It affects the entire church. Oh, I didn't get a lot of amens on that. Here's another lie we may tell ourselves. I don't need other Christians to help me with my anger or abuse. Well, then why haven't you dealt with it yet? We may lie to ourselves and say, my anger is justified. And it assumes pure motives. I'll tell you something. I've been a Christian a long time. I don't know that I do anything with pure motives. These are all lies we tell ourselves. We all need to question the reasons for our anger, and some in this room need to stop pretending that they are not angry and be honest. By the way, I'm not like pointing this at any in particular person or situation, but we are told in Scripture, stop telling lies. Don't lie to each other. Own up to the truth. If you engage in phimos, orgy, or loiteros, anger, rage, or abuse, tell someone. Confess it to someone. Repent of it. Cast it away by God's grace. And this is why we need community as Christians. We need relationships. We need each other to help us with our blind spots. The lies that we are living. The denial that we are cradling right now. Sometimes only someone who loves you deeply will be brave enough to point out your anger, rage, or abuse. It takes a lot of guts for someone to lovingly point that out. God bless every one of you who does it. And the good news is, if you follow Jesus, here's the thing. He's already freed you from these. You hear what I'm saying? Jesus died on the cross not just to wipe your record clean, but to break the power of sin in our lives so that we don't have to keep falling into patterns of anger, rage, and abuse. He's cut that off by the power of the cross. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Finally, some amens. These sins are not to be tolerated among God's people. We are called to be holy. Anger, rage, and abuse tear at our relationships. They keep us distant from each other. We end up in a church like this with very few friends and very shallow friendships. No one wants to be friends with a curmudgeon, a hothead, a grudge keeper, an abuser. But truthfulness is our way out. The Bible says, confess your sins to each other. Oh, if we only obeyed that one verse more. Oh, it would change the church. Amazing. Confession and repentance breaks the chains and allow us to live in the freedom from sin that is already ours in Christ. God wants you to have relationships, lasting, satisfying relationships. Why? That's why he has written the book. He wants you to have a relationship with him and with each other. So the question is, this morning, will I get honest about our anger, rage, and abuse? Do you remember the tag from this series? If you want to have good friends, Don't be a bad friend. So this is what we read in James. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Slow to get angry. This is orgy. Human anger, again orgy, does not produce the righteousness God desires. That burning rage inside of us that judges other people and holds them accountable. And we say, oh man, I'm going to take you down. I'm going to wait for the right time and the right circumstances, and then, poof, forest fire time. So as we get close to the end of this series, I want to ask you the question. We've spent months on the Flip Side series talking about different sins. The greatest hope for a preacher like me is that all of us have changed. All of us have been transformed. All of us have been softened toward our own sin. That we take our finger pointing away from other people. We start doing this. Where's my anger? Where's my rage? Where's my abuse? And let's face it, we all do it. Question is, will we own up to it? Will we talk to each other about it and get it dealt with? In our life groups, in our mentoring, even up here this morning. You may want to take some time at the end of the service to come on up and say, you know what? I just realized I've got some serious rage going on. And I want God to deal with it. It's affecting my relationships. But as we close up, I want us to review the sins that we have covered so far. The Flip Side series covered this: division, quarreling, dissension, envy, jealousy, theft, greed, slander, unkind speech, malicious behavior, sexual immorality, pride, arrogance, and now we've added anger, rage, and abuse. At the heart, I believe that at the heart of every relational separation is sin. Sin is the cause of every relational separation. Now, I want you to look at this list. And I want you to pray about this list right now. I want you to ask God for one thing. I want you to ask our Father, our loving Father who loves you, which of these do you want to talk to me about right now? Which of these is most hindering my relationships with the people in this church? Keeping people away from me. Keeping my relationships shallow. Which of these do you want to speak to me about this morning, Lord? I did this earlier. I wasn't going to do this, but God's been talking to me about my pride. And I can talk more about that some other time, but I don't want to distract you. This is now between you and God. I want you to ask God which one of these most applies to you. Now we are going to, in a moment, remember the cross of Christ. And this is for those of us in this room who have made a commitment to Christ. We have repented of our sins. We have said, Jesus, I want you to lead me. I want you to be my Lord. I'm going to follow you. This is for those of you who have done that. If you are here and you are visiting this morning or just checking out Christianity, don't worry. You can stay in your seat. It's no shame in that. It's all good. We're just happy you're here. The rest of you are going to get up and you're going to go to the table that's closest to you. You're going to get a cracker representing Christ's body. You are going to get juice representing his blood. But I want you to be praying about this as you do it. And as such, I'm asking you once again, as you go and you remember the Lord's table, you are silent as you do it. This is not a time for catching up on the baseball scores. This could be the most important moment of your year thus far. God wants to free you. God wants to open up relational possibilities in your life. And I'm going to come back to this in a moment, but just to remind us, this is what Jesus told us. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world you are my disciples. This is Christ's dream for his church. That we would be so relationally connected, so loving of each other, that it would be a testimony in itself of the gospel message. That God himself can take a group of people like this who come from all kinds of different backgrounds and nationalities and what have you, and make them one. So I go back to the list. And I'm going to stop talking now. And you're going to start praying. And you're going to come back and sit in your seat. And then we will remember the cross of Christ together. If you can't get up out of your seat, just put your hand up and someone will come to you. Our Father, we want to acknowledge this morning that you are a forgiving God. And where would any of us be if you did not forgive us? In fact, your word says you delight in forgiving. You enjoy it. And we are the beneficiaries of your forgiveness. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the cross. And before you, we want to confess as a church our division, our quarreling, our dissension, our envy, our jealousy, our theft, our greed, our slander, our unkind speech, our malicious behavior, our sexual immorality, our pride, our arrogance, our anger, our rage, and our abuse. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your cross freed us from every single one of these. And so it is appropriate at the end of this series to acknowledge the power of the cross once again, that we don't have to live this way, that we can live in our freedom. Oh, Lord, help us to live in our freedom. Live by the power of the Spirit. Lord, may you create in this church strong relationships that are void of these sins. We thank you for your body that was broken for us. Everyone take and eat. And we thank you for your blood that was spilled for us. Everyone take and drink.